First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. I've looked at this thought of upwards living. I think maybe this will be the last message. We looked at some words. Justify means brought up. He brought us up out of the pit of sin. Sanctify means clean up. He's been cleaning up on us since we've been saved. Magnify means lift up. We ought to lift him up. Edify means to build up. He wants to build us up and help us to mature and develop spiritually. I want to look at this word, this thought this evening. Glorify means called up. I am glad there's a better day ahead. I'm glad that God's salvation plan includes an exit plan. And one of these days is going to happen. Look and see what it says. It said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. God has taken some of his people home in unique ways. He took Elijah up by a chariot of fire, a whirlwind. He took Enoch up just by walking, I guess. He was translated. And he one day will take his bride, his son's bride, up in a very unusual way. We one day will be called up. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That word appear, it doth not yet appear. It means it's just too much to take in. There's more that we're going to see and experience than we could understand now. We could not comprehend it. Perhaps you've been like me. Every once in a while, you wish God would tell you some more things about certain things than he did in the Bible. And one of those things is heaven. To be honest, we know very little about heaven. Compared to what it is and what it will be, we know very little about our home. But I am glad one of these days we'll get to experience it. And he says that he, when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We who are believers, and I'm talking to you tonight, assuming that you're a believer and you're saved, we will be called. It says, called up together with them. One of these days, he's going to call us home. It says there, the trump of God and a shout from heaven. I believe what we find in Revelation where it says, come up hither, maybe the exact words that Jesus says. I don't know, but I know this, whatever he says, it's going to work. We will be called home. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who have already passed away, those bodies are in the grave or wherever they are. And when the rapture takes place, those bodies will be raised up. They will be raised in glorified states, and the spirit and the soul that has already gone to be with the Lord will meet that body in the air, that glorified body. And those who are alive, they'll be instantly changed and will receive our glorified bodies. That's why Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If we die now, the real us goes to be with the Lord while our body goes to decay and fade away and wait for the rapture. We will be called, but we will be changed. I am so glad there's a change coming. I'll be honest, I'm not sure I would want to live forever in this body. Not if it continues to get worse. I'm telling you, it's bad enough as it is. And every once in a while, I'll talk to somebody who's a lot older than me, and they'll just say, you just hang on. You ain't seen nothing yet. And I think, oh my, don't tell me that. But one of these days, we're going to have a changed, glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 says, so when this corruptible, this old flesh, this old body is corruptible, it is decaying and one day it's going to rot away when we die. So when this corruptible happen on incorruption, that cannot be corrupted, that will never die or fade away, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, oh my, I'm so glad that there's a day when our corruptible body will be incorrupted. Philippians 3:1 says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? I don't know a lot about my glorified body, but I do know one thing, it'll be like his. He said, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Whatever kind of body he had will be mostly what our body will be. We will be like him, but more than just in a body, but our mind will be like him, as far as our thinking and our desires will be like his, and our actions will be like his. We're not going to just get a glorified body and still stay in this old mind. I'm glad. I need a new mind, not just a new body. I'm talking tonight about glorify. We're going to be glorified one day. We're going to be caught up. We'll be called and we'll be changed. Now, when it says that he'll change our vile body to be fashioned to a body like his, what does that mean? What does it mean that I'll be like him, that you'll be like him? Well, one thing for sure, what it does not mean is that we'll be exactly like him. We are not going to be little gods. We are not going to be omnipresent or omniscient, and we're not going to be all-knowing, and we're not going to be everywhere at once. We're not going to be like God. We're not even going to be little gods, but we're going to be like him, but still human. We're still going to be human beings, even though we have glorified bodies. We will always be in submission to him. We will humble ourselves before him. We will recognize, perhaps like never before, that we do need to worship him, that he's worthy of our worship. Brother Albert mentioned how we ought to worship him now, and we ought to, because we're going to practice for heaven. In Revelation 4:10, it talks about the 24 elders, which I believe is a symbol of the believers. And it says the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. There in heaven we will fall down and worship him. Well, what does that mean? We recognize he is greater than us. Glorified bodies, better mind, eternal beings, there's no doubt. But we always will recognize he is God and I am still human. I am still man. Being like him doesn't mean we're going to be exactly like him, but it does mean we'll have an attitude like his. I said before, it's not just our body that gets changed, but our minds, our intellect, our attitude gets changed. 1 Corinthians 15:49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, in other words, I look like my daddy, I act like my daddy because I came from my daddy. I'm a human being like my daddy was a human being. I have a body that's human like my daddy did. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. He said, just like you're like your parents, you're going to be like your God. We're going to have an attitude like him. We're going to think different. We're going to have the mind of Christ. Listen to me. Our flesh will be gone. All that sinful desire that we wrestle with now, listen, all the fear that we battle with, the doubt we have to deal with, the bitterness and the anger and the questions that we deal with now, all of that will be gone. We'll be changed and we'll be like him because our attitude will be like him. Do you think he worries? Oh, no. Do you think he ever gets angry at the wrong thing? No. Do you think he ever doubts? No. He is God and we will be like him, that our attitude will be like him. I tell you what, it's going to be amazing for all of our hang-ups to be gone. For all of our issues to just instantly disappear. We carry baggage, every one of us do. We are so accustomed to our bondage, we don't even know how to even think about it being gone, but one day it's going to be gone. Our baggage will be gone. Division and difficulties and our prejudice and our lack of love and all that will be gone. We'll be like Him. We'll be changed. We'll be like Him and have an attitude like Him. We'll be like Him and have an appetite like Him. We'll like the things He likes. I don't mean what we're going to like at the table. I'm talking about we will desire spiritual things. Remember, our flesh is gone. There's no more flesh, and there's no more sin, but there's more to a changed body, a glorified body, than just no more sin and no more flesh. There isn't even a desire for the fleshly things. Those things that we battle with right now that drive us crazy and so many times defeat us, our flesh that controls us so often, that will be gone. We'll be changed in the moment's notice. We'll be changed in our appetite. We'll desire the things of God, only the things of God. We talk about the golden streets and the mansions and all the gates of pearl and all that, and there's not a thing in the world wrong with that, but I guarantee you when we get there, those things won't mean hardly anything at all because our heart will be so toward Him, and we'll see then what really matters. It's not a golden street. That's why He puts the gold on the street, because we walk on it, and it's not because of the big pearl gates. That's why He hangs them on a hinge, because they really don't matter that much. Our nature will be spiritual. Our appetite will desire spiritual and godly things. When we talk about being changed and being like Him, we'll have an appearance like Him. We'll look like Him. Now, does that mean we're going to all look the same? Of course not. That's not what I'm talking about. It says, 1 Corinthians 15:42, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. At death, our body goes to a grave. As I said before, our spirit and soul goes to heaven. At the rapture, they're reunited. And we're going to look like Him as far as our appearance. Now, again, it doesn't look like Him. I'm talking about the glorified part. Probably what He looked like at the transfiguration is a lot what He looked like after His resurrection. Now, I can't guarantee that, but I have that opinion. But I do know this, after the resurrection, Jesus was seen in His glorified body. And my understanding is He's still in that glorified body. And my body will be like His body. Your body as a believer will be like His body. We'll have His appearance. We will be in glorified bodies. Philippians 3:21, again, I've already read it. The last part says, fashioned like unto His glorious body. Now, whatever, I believe this, whatever the state in human development that brings a person to maturity, and there's a point where we go up physically and up emotionally and up mentally and intellectually, and then there comes a time in your life you start going down. You start going down physically. You start going down mentally. You start going down intellectually. You forget things. Whatever that perfect state of development is, I sort of have the opinion that that's how what age will look like in heaven. Now, I don't have any idea. I'm just guessing, but I think it's a pretty good guess. I know Jesus, when He died on the cross, was 33, 33 and a half, something like that. And when they saw Him, they recognized Him in His glorified body. They didn't say, well, who in the world is this? I ain't never seen this fellow before. They saw Him and recognized Him. No flaws, no aging bodies, no aches, no pains, no wrinkles, ladies and men. No bifocals, no bridges, no bulges, no bunions. I'm talking about we're going to have a changed body, and that body's going to be like His. We'll look like His. There's no physical flaws whatsoever. I'm telling you, it's a perfect body. You see, sin is not going to claim any victory, even our body.
will be changed. It'll decay if we die, but it'll be changed. God's plan of salvation wins the victory even over our physical man and wins the victory over our glorified body. I'm talking about we shall be changed. We'll look like him, a body like his. That means we'll have an attitude like his, an appetite like his, an appearance like his. I think in some ways it'll be that we have an ability like his. We will be able to do somewhat what he did. Now again, we're not God. We can't create things and change things and act in our own will. I don't believe that. But I do know this. His body was not limited by the flesh. Now, before he died and before he rose, before he got the glorified body, his flesh got tired, got hungry, got thirsty. And our bodies further are susceptible to disease. We have to eat to stay alive. We have to drink to stay alive. We have to rest. Our bodies are limited, and that's one thing that we have to deal with. But the body that we'll have then has no limitations as far as the flesh. We'll get to eat, but we ain't got to. And you never have to say, well, how many calories has this got? I'm talking about an ability like his. We'll be changed. We'll be like him. Our body will be like his body. His body was not limited by matter. After he rose from the dead, he walked right through doors, walked right through walls. Can you imagine? That's the kind of body we're going to have. Just walk right through something. Locks won't mean a thing when it was locked. We'll have a body that is not affected by matter. We'll have a body that's not affected by space. He would be in their presence and then poof, be gone and just vanish away. Not that he just disappeared and he's still hanging around there, but he went somewhere else. I believe with all my heart, if I want to go to Mars for whatever reason, I just think it or will it or whatever and go to Mars. I believe we'll have a body that's not limited by space. It'll not be limited by gravity. He ascended after he rose from the dead. It won't be limited by time. Everything now, what time is it? Going to be late, going to be late, going to be early. I mean, what time I got to be there? What kind of time I got to get up? We'll not have to worry about time. I'm talking about we'll have an ability like him. You see, we're not what we're going to be. We're like old ugly caterpillars that turn into butterflies. We're just on the way. I'm saying tonight, there's a glorification on the way. We'll be called, we'll be changed. I think number three, we'll be conscious. And I mean by that, aware. Somebody asked, well, do you think you'll know everybody in heaven? You think you'll know your friends? You think you'll know your family? And I heard one old preacher say, well, you surely don't think I'm going to be more dumb in heaven than I am now. I know them now. And I believe the answer is, of course we will. 2 Samuel, when the little baby died, David said, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David, and by the way, it's not just his opinion. It's God the Spirit speaking through him. He says, I'm going to go to be with him. He was looking forward to the day of seeing that son in heaven. By the way, I don't think he's going to see a little baby. I think he's going to see his son in a glorified body. Eventually he will. Right now they ain't got glorified bodies yet. But there we're going to be conscious. We're going to be aware of everybody. I think we'll know people we never met. I believe we'll recognize the people that we know now. Because I believe we'll know everybody instantly. In Matthew 17, when Jesus transfigured Moses and Elias, Elijah showed up. And they seemed to recognize them. And I guarantee you they'd never seen them, never seen a picture of them, but they recognized them. When they saw Jesus in his glorified body, they recognized him. They looked at him and saw him and knew him. So I think we will see each other and recognize each other. Paul had other things in mind, but he meant this too. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Then I shall know, even as also I am known. I believe one of the things he was saying is, I will know you and you will know me. You will know me as Rick or Richard, I don't know. We shall be called, we shall be changed, we shall be conscious, we shall be, number four, contented. If this was the only reason to go, it'd be a good reason to go.
Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. He says the whole creation is saying, oh God, please deliver us. This creation is under a curse now. And if you will, he spiritualizes or illustrates the creation itself, saying, oh, it's under the weight of the curse. He continues, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to with the redemption of our body. He says, creation is groaning, wanting to be delivered. And he says, by the way, so are we. Do you sense that? I've talked to so many people that says, I'm so homesick. If I could just get out of here, I'd go right now. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about. There is a discontentment in this world, a dissatisfaction, because it's like, as we sang this morning, we're pilgrims and strangers here. We're out of joint in this world. If you feel at home here, something's wrong. There's a discontentment here, but when we get there, we will be contented, satisfied, not in a fleshly way, a good way. Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh whatsoever abomination or maketh a lie. There won't be any bad thing there. I believe we'll be realizing, I've wondered, I've said it often at funerals, this person is just getting used to being in heaven. I wonder what that first opening the eyes and realizing I'm here. And since we're talking about rapture and glorified bodies, wonder what it will be like those first few moments when we realize I am really here. It wasn't a fairy tale. It wasn't just some sad story that somebody dreamed up. It is real and I'm here. The battles are over. The rotten world is behind me. I'm in a place where there's no sorrow or sickness or stress. I'm in a place where there's no sin or Satan or self. I finally am home. And we'll see clearer than we've seen before. And hear better than we've ever heard before. And feel better than we ever have before. Our senses will be heightened. We'll know more. I believe we'll still be learning. We'll be able to do things that we could not do. I wonder those first few moments of just getting used to the fact I am really here, realizing we will be contented. We'll be realizing, I think we'll be rejoicing. One thing for sure, I don't think there'll be any sad stories to tell when we get there. I don't think we'll lumber in and say, well, I'm glad I finally made it. I guess this is home. I don't believe that's going to happen. I think some who never shouted will shout, and some don't hardly smile will smile. I believe there's some rejoicing in store because like never before, they'll realize how good God's been. The overwhelming sadness of this world keeps us bogged down, and that'll be gone. When we realize we're there, I'm convinced we'll rejoice. Paul said it like this, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He said, all the trouble I'm going through, it is nothing. It's not even worth the comparison of what I'll get when I get to heaven. We'll be rejoicing. I believe we'll be reuniting. Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto me. That means the entire church will go. But listen, all the believers will be in heaven eventually. We get to meet our loved ones. Gladys is waiting. We talked a little bit the last few days about some of the folks that's passed on from this church. Mr. and Ms. Leonard, Leanne, Velma, Eula. So many. George Lindsay, just keep on naming them. And I'm telling you, one of these days we will get to unite with them again. We're going to be reunited. I'm talking about we'll be contented. Finally, all this stress and all this trouble and all this burden will be gone. And we'll be able to breathe a contentment. We'll be reminded, I believe with all my heart, much of what we'll enjoy in heaven is, I know how I got here.
I know where I would have been had I not gotten saved. I know where I would have been had Jesus not died for me. I know where I would be if Jesus hadn't come and convicted me and forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. And I remember the times when he took care of me after I got saved and put up with me when he shouldn't have and gave me things I didn't deserve. I believe in heaven we'll be reminded about who was responsible for us getting there. We'll be called and changed and conscious and contented. But I believe also we'll be crowned. I hope. I won't read the verses. There's crowns talked about in the Bible, the incorruptible crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of life. Can you imagine? We'll be crowned. The Bible says, if any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. Are you kidding me? He gives us salvation when we don't deserve it and can't merit it. And he puts up with our humanness and what little bit we do, and I guarantee you a little bit compared to what we could do and should do. When we get to heaven, those things we've done in the Spirit, those things we've done in obedience to him, those things that we've done that were right for his honor and glory, we'll get rewarded. We'll get crowns. In that day, they worked and labored and sacrificed and gave their all for a little wreath crown that would fade away in a few days. But it meant something. And that wreath represented what they did. It represented their sacrifice. It represented their work and their labor and their preparation and how they put their all into that, whatever sport. And the crowns we receive will represent the same. How we gave ourselves to the Lord, how we obeyed him, how well we submitted to him, how we were faithful to him, how we kept going when we didn't want to keep going, how we were obedient to him when it wasn't easy. It will be a time of rejoicing. And then lastly, we'll be called and changed and conscious and contented and crowned. And I believe this for sure, we'll be casting. Revelation 4:10-11, just the last portion. They'll cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. We will cast our crowns. Those crowns, I ain't about to say that we earned, but those crowns that we got, that we received, to signify our faithfulness, I believe with all my heart this tells us that it's coming a time when we say, I don't deserve heaven, let alone this crown. And we'll bow before him and we'll cast those crowns at his feet and say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power because you're the one that did this. I didn't earn the crown. You gave me salvation and provide the power and the spirit and the desire. And you used me as I was working and serving you and being faithful to you. I don't deserve this crown. You do. And I believe for a long time, how about eternity, we'll thank him for what he's done and give him thanks and glory and praise. Glorify means caught up. One of these days we're getting out of this world. A place where there's no flesh, fatigue, failures, fear, flab, forgetfulness, fussing, fighting, or funerals, and a whole lot more. Have you ever planned some kind of trip? Some type of experience, maybe a vacation, maybe just a day at a park, maybe a fancy restaurant, and you look ahead toward it and you plan ahead and you got it marked on the calendar and the day finally comes that you get to go and you're there and you're enjoying it and it's wonderful. And it's not just the fact that you're there and you're enjoying it, but you've planned ahead for it and maybe you've sacrificed in order to be able to do it. And you get there and you think, hey, I'm finally here. And it's all that you want it to be. Well, that's going to be heaven multiplied 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. Now we talk about it, we think about it, we hope for it, we expect it. But one of these days, we're really going to be there. We're really going to be there. And then we'll sit around and say, why in the world did I worry? Why in the world didn't I listen? Oh, my. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, amen, when I look upon his face and thank him for his grace, when he takes me by the hand, and leads me through the promised land. What a day, what a day, what a day that will be. Let's stand together.